Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. I would like to thank the founders of the Seika Network for giving me this wonderful opportunity to bring this show to the public, where each week we are talking about Reiki and all things surrounding Reiki. Many things that the founder of Reiki, Mikao Usui, was interested in and did and took interest in and participated in during his life. And even after he discovered Reiki, he was a man of many interests and very spiritual and was looking through all means and things, studies, religion, martial arts, geology, sociology, metaphysics. He was interested in what makes life tick and how we could all better ourselves and grow personally and spiritually. Reiki is a universal life force energy. It is an intelligent energy of love and wholeness. It understands the cause of problems and what healing is necessary. The Reiki energy has a wisdom of its own, healing and balancing all aspects of a person's mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Reiki is a blessing, an instantaneously conferred sacred potential for healing, protection, and personal and spiritual growth and development. Tonight, my guest is Kathleen Prasad. She is an animal Reiki teacher, and she's been an animal lover, a lifelong animal lover and educator for over 15 years. Inspired by her volunteer experiences, Kathleen decided to dedicate her teaching career to animal Reiki full-time in 2002. Since then, she has authored the book Reiki for Dogs, co-authored the books The Animal Reiki Handbook, and Animal Reiki, Using Energy to Heal the Animals in Your Life. She's been featured on many radio shows, as well as her local news and the national PBS series, Healing Quest. Her work's been featured in the Journal of the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, Animal Fair, The Whole Dog Journal, Dogs Naturally Magazine, Dog Fancy, Animal Wellness Magazine, Equine Wellness Magazine, and Natural Horse Talk Magazine. This evening, we're going to talk to Kathleen in just a second. We're going to take a brief... Oh, I'm sorry. Forgetting something. This show is brought to you by the Rose, Violet Rose Reiki, and you can visit my website. I'm Rose Jimenez of Violet Rose Reiki. I'm Reiki Shihan, and I teach three different, actually four different methods of Reiki. So please visit www.violetrosereiki.com. Or if you want any information on the show, my guests, if you'd like to be a guest, if you are a Reiki master, if you do Reiki, if you're a Reiki practitioner and you have some interesting stories, or you'd like to share your Reiki experience, please drop me an email at rose@violetrosereiki.com. You can find me on Facebook and Violet Rose Reiki. You can also find me on all the other social media, popular social medias, under Violet Rose Reiki. And I also have a Facebook page, which is called Reiki Ward, like a hospital ward. This page is entitled Reiki Ward. And this was formed 3 years ago in order to provide distance Reiki healing free for humans and animals all over the world. Reiki Ward does two to three rounds of Reiki distance healing every day at a minimum. And we also place the Reiki requests on our healing crystal grid for 24/7 Reiki healing work and energy. So visit the page, just go to Facebook and type in Reiki Ward, and you can put up a request, and your request should be posted just as you would post anything to your own wall or a friend's wall. It's really, really simple. And as I said, we're 3 years and growing. We started Reiki Ward 3 years ago, and it is doing tremendous. So the call-in number, if you'd like to call in tonight and talk with myself and Kathleen, or ask a question of either one of us or both, call into 347-677-0699. I'll be back in just a moment with Kathleen.
You're listening to Violet Reiki Radio on the Seika Network through blogtalkradio.com with your host, Reiki Shihan Rose Jimenez, your source for all things Reiki in love, light, and healing.
We are back. See who I have here. Good evening, you're on Violet Reiki Radio. Hello?
Hello, this is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. I took another caller because I noticed you have the question up, and I thought you were someone who was calling in with a question. Ah, technology.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you?
Yep. My question is, hi, can I be on your show tonight?
Yes, you can be. I've waited a long time for this. My dear friend Franz Stina, I don't know, I said to Franz once, you know, he was on the show and it was a great show. And of course, Franz is from the International House of Reiki Down Under. He and Bronwyn, they are just wonderful contributors to teaching Reiki and getting Reiki out there and giving the most wonderful information on Reiki. So, and he had suggested as a friend, you know, well, who should I have as a guest? You know, what about like animal Reiki and who and what? And he said, oh, Kathleen Prasad. I said, okay. So I have been waiting for
this. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yes. And I'm so happy and grateful that you accepted. I think this is wonderful.
Well, I always love to talk about animals and Reiki because they're two of my favorite things.
Yeah, same with me. I just love them. And I have a cat now who, you know, she's a Reiki master in her own world.
Absolutely, they are. It's true.
It's weird because, like, if I'm not feeling well and I'm lying down on the couch, she jumps on the I've observed this. And even my other cat, Rascal, he's not with us any longer, but he would do the same thing. Jump on the couch and start to walk up and down my body, just like go up and down the body. And I'm like, what is this cat doing? And I'm like, oh, you know what? Duh. The cat is scanning you.
Mm-hmm,
because then they would wind up, both of them do this, and even Pat, she does it now. You know, they hit a spot where I guess that's, you know, okay, this is where the imbalance is. This is the problem area. And they just throw themselves on me like, okay, I have to do Reiki here.
Yes, that's what they do.
Is that really? Yeah, I mean, you're the master in this area. Is that really what they do?
Well, it depends on what you define Reiki as. I mean, for me, there's a couple of ways we can define Reiki. One is the Japanese system of Reiki, which consists of different practices, such as, you know, the different meditations and hands-on healing and the symbols and the mantras and the initiations and so on. So we're talking about, you know, the system of Reiki. Animals don't practice the system of Reiki. But what I'd like to suggest is that's because they don't need to. So we need help figuring out how do I open my heart? How do I learn to live with compassionate presence and be with others rather than always just do? How do I live in the moment? How do I, you know, be present, really, just be? And animals, like, to me, they just know how to do this. They don't need to study a system. So for us, it's like, okay, well, you know, I'm worried, I'm angry, I'm, you know, I'm in my ego, I'm, you know, having all these issues, it's difficult for me to be compassionate, so I need a system to help me. Okay, I've got the five precepts. Okay, now I can contemplate the five precepts, I can meditate on those. Oh, I'm still getting worried, angry. Okay, well, now I can do some meditations. I can do the Hara breathing meditation. You know, I can do the Joshin Kokyo-ho. I can do the Seishin Tuitsu. I can do the Hatsureho. I've got all these meditations. Oh, you know, I'm still having ego anger, so now I can work with the hands-on healing. I'm going to go to my teacher and get an initiation. That always helps. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Animals are just like, well, you know what? I'm going to be present for my person, with an open heart, without judgment, without expectation, I'm going to be with them. And, you know, they totally sense when we are out of balance, and they compassionately support us with an open heart to help us to go back into balance. Because that's what I really believe is all that we do is Reiki. That's all we're doing. But it just takes us so many steps to get there, so many steps of awareness, but also energetic development. But animals are our spiritual teachers. So they're already here. You know, I tell students sometimes, I have a meditation in my book, Reiki for Dogs, that's called the Moonlight Beacon Meditation. And it's kind of a guided meditation where you imagine this beautiful moon, this bright, beautiful moon, and that this moon can heal you. And so I said, well, you know, and a lot of the students, they absolutely love that meditation. They love to do it when it's actually a full moon, you know, very powerful. And they're like, wow, this is such a wonderful meditation, and I love it. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, we had to, like, think about it and practice it and try to, you know, get ourselves there. And on the other hand, what did you hear in the wilderness? Oh, the wolves. The wolves were howling to the moon. They didn't say to themselves, oh, hey, guys, it's a full moon. I think we should utilize its resources, so let's walk over to that clearing, and we'll all look up at it, and we'll go, oh!
Right. Or what kind of howling do you guys want to do? Let's think about this a bit. Everybody put in there, you know, and then we could argue about it or, you know, and just like take an hour deciding, you know, micromanage each other.
Now,
how
do I breathe when I howl? Should I breathe all the way into the hara? Should I howl like quickly or slowly? Like, how do I do that? Yeah, I mean, this is really what we do. And so meanwhile, the moon is sitting there, right? But the wolves just are like full moon equals connection, equals energy, right. Equals healing, equals balance, equals whatever. The wolf is one with the moon is one with the wolf. So to me, that's an example of how they do Reiki. They do Reiki in a very different way. And by Reiki, I mean, you know, spiritual healing. They do it in a very direct way without a lot of gobbledygook.
And so for the monkey mind chatter that human beings tend to, you know, bring on to themselves or we do it to ourselves. We throw ourselves out of balance constantly.
Absolutely. And I mean, and for me, that's what I hear a lot is like, well, that's why humans are, you know, that's why we're better than animals because we're more intelligent. We have a really big brain and, you know, we can think about all these things. We can go to outer space. We can do all this stuff. And it's like, well, actually, I think it's a hindrance. Like intellectually, yeah, we're ahead, but spiritually it's a hindrance. Our intellect is a hindrance.
Like so says the human ego. Yes, that's your human ego saying it, you know. I mean, you think about it, you know, they're going to outer space. They can't even take care of our own planet, Mother Gaia. They're not doing anything to help it, to improve it. They're killing it, and it's getting worse by the year. So the space program to me is, you know, let's spend a gazillion trillion dollars to find another planet to go to once we've trashed this one. It's like, what kind of a mentality is that?
Well, I think we've gotten disconnected to Mother Earth. I mean, that's really the problem. And, you know, what has disconnected us? I mean, I really believe that our intellect is our downfall. We think we are so smart and we can figure out how to do all these things, but what we, for some reason, can't figure out is how to live in balance with other beings. And that's something that animals understand, and even plants and trees are better at this than we are. So just to be able to, for me, really what I do in my work is I teach people how to open to their animals when they're in the Reiki space, so that we can be supported to go deeper in our own healing. Because for my own experience, there's a long way to go, but we can get there quicker and easier with our animals, so why not? You know, we
Most
can try
definitely.
To do it by ourselves too, but
it's always like, you know, I remember growing up, people kept using this phrase that irked the hell out of me. Oh, stupid animal. And I'd sit there and say, what are they talking about, stupid animal? How do you know, or how can you say that the animal is stupid? Because so many animals are so smart. You know, there people would argue, say, oh, no, the pig is the smartest, the horse is the smartest. You know, they have these studies that tell you which animal is the smartest of the animals. But
these are human-made studies, and they're measuring, again, the intellect. They're measuring these markers, which are what our brains are good at. And it's so egotistical to do that instead of to see that, you know, every being has a beautiful part in the world. And animals are so authentic. Every species of animal, I have done Reiki with species like whales and dolphins and elephants and tigers. And I've done Reiki with tiny little creatures like butterflies and spiders, you know, and even ants. And for me, when we connect in the Reiki space, if we have an open heart, if we let go of our ego and come from that space that, you know, you could be my teacher, even though you're a little ant. You could be my teacher. When we sit in meditation with that intent from our hearts, there is so much to learn. And we can actually realize very profound wisdom, even from an aunt. But we have to sort of get there, get to that space. So there's a lot of ego shedding that has to go on for us to be able to benefit. But I think once you do that, you can never go back. You can never see the world in the same way once you realize what a beautiful gift each of these creatures is to this planet and to this life, how they're, each one is a miracle. And I mean, for me, Mother Nature has so much wisdom, but we're so disconnected in our urban environment, our busy pace. The animals are more connected, so they're our link. You know, our dog, our cat, is our link to Mother Earth, because we've gotten a little off track, but we can get back. They can help us to get back.
Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in. I always was, as a matter of fact, it came up in a discussion with a friend of mine the other day, something about someone, people who don't like animals. I said, you know, I always was the type of person that, if you don't like animals, I don't like you. It's like, I'm sorry, how could you hate an animal? A defenseless, beautiful creature. And no, you know, and all this negativity about animals. Like I said, yeah, the stupid animals, dirty animals. And I was like, that's one of God's beautiful creatures. How could you, I don't understand. But, you know.
Well, I think a lot of that comes from, you know, fear. I mean, we can go back to the Reiki precepts. And we are so afraid of anything that's different, anything that we don't understand, you know?
Right.
So I think that people who don't like animals have never really connected with one. And so they're afraid because they're so different. And, you know.
I have a client who, God love him. I mean, my cat, she loves to take you know, part in every Reiki session I do. You know, she likes to be the assistant. And then, you know, and it's weird with her because sometimes she'll come in to certain clients, and there are other clients who she's, like, not fazed. She stays by herself. But I have one client who is scared to death of cats. He's terrified of them. And I locked her up in the dining room when he came, and because he had informed me of this ahead of time, and I had him on the table. His session was about 3/4 of the way over with. Guy was nice and relaxed and everything, and she was being obnoxious trying to get out of the dining room, and I said, you know what, that's a lot of noise, so let me go let her out. I'm almost done, and I let her out, and she didn't come in the treatment room at all for about 5 minutes, and then she appears. And usually if she jumps on my table, she'll jump down around the person's, you know, ankles or feet, that end. No. This poor guy, she jumped right up near his shoulder and damn near gave him a heart attack. He went from the Reiki table to the ceiling in one fell swoop.
Dear.
And I had to go lock her up again and come back and, you know, give him some nice calming crystals and start again and bring them back down up the ceiling and relax them again. But I mean, it's hysterical because, you know, she wanted to help.
Well, I was going to say, I think that animals sense when there's an imbalance or a fear. And I think probably in her mind, this is so easy to heal. I just come and I show him. He's in the Reiki space. So he's open and he can see that we're not different. Maybe he's a human and a cat, but underneath, in our hearts, we're the same. But he wasn't ready to receive that lesson. I had in a class, I teach once a year in Florida at the CARE Foundation, which is an exotic animal sanctuary. And one year, it's kind of in a very rural area, sort of in a forest, and the animals have their different enclosures where they are. And so we'll teach out there, and then I'll send the students out, and they choose an animal. So there's monkeys and alligators and crocodiles and tigers and panthers and, you know, a bear and, you know, all different kinds. They have a lot of venomous snakes that we get to work with, which are very exciting. So anyway, one year I sent everybody out and one of the ladies went to work with the monkeys and she's sitting out there. So everybody brings a chair and they can sit outside the enclosure of the animal and close their eyes and do meditation, connect with the animal. So she's halfway through the meditation and she feels the presence of something, someone she didn't know. She opened her eyes, and there is a black racer snake about 6-7 feet long sitting right at her foot, just quietly absorbing the energy. And she said, oh, I got up very slowly. I apologize for not being able to be in the Reiki space for the snake, and I backed up and I ran. And she ran to me, and she's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, she's freaking out. And so I'm like, well, I said to her, well, you know, anyone, when you open up that Reiki space, all the animals will sense it, and they might come to share. And so the snake wanted was a wild snake, and he wanted to share. And first we had to find out who are the black racer snakes, and we were assured they're not poisonous. But then Kristen told us, who owns the Care Foundation, well, this is very strange because they're terrified of humans, and in fact, if they see you coming, all we ever see of black razor snakes is the tip of their tail running away into the forest. They never come out, ever. So she's like, are you sure? And she's like, yes, he was sitting at my foot, you know, sharing Reiki. So that was totally amazing. But then the truly amazing part of the story came out in that the woman confided to me that she had been terrified of snakes since she was a child, when she had been bitten by a poisonous snake when she was like 5 and narrowly escaped death. And ever since then, she had been absolutely terrified, like panic attack terrified of snakes. And she's like, you know, I just thought I wouldn't go in the snake room here, and then I would just work with the other animals, but I can't believe this happened. And I said to her, well, you know, maybe the snake was coming to heal you, and maybe the snake was coming to help you to release that fear and to see that, you know, maybe with Reiki you can heal that you've carried with you. I mean, what a burden to carry that with you your whole life. And she's like, well, I'm not ready for that lesson. And then later, you know, she thought about it, and later she came up to me and she goes, you know, I was thinking about what you said. And she said, I realized that I woke up this morning with a really bad headache, and after I sat with that snake, my headache's gone. And she's like, maybe he did come to help me, and maybe, you know, she really had to start thinking about things in a very different way. So I think that animals sense all kinds of things about us that we don't sense and we don't understand, and they do. And when they feel that we are in an open-hearted Reiki space, they come forward to connect, because it's so refreshing, right? Most humans aren't speaking to them on that level. So the level of energy is a very familiar language for them, and they love to share in that with human beings when they find some of us that know that language.
Yeah, and it's just like now this whole, I'm a very, very big, huge, tremendous wolf advocate. And all of the wolf killings and the massacres that are going on, and the anti-wolf gang, their whole thing is, oh, they're out there killing people and killing buffalo and killing cattle and killing things. And it's like, you know what? Wolves are afraid of humans. You know, they're not, yes, they're predators, but they're not, you know, predators to be evil. It's the way they survive. There are a lot of other animals that are predators, and they go after what they're supposed to naturally go after in the entire eco balance of nature and everything. And, you know, but the humans have to butt in.
Right.
Wolf is another animal that, you know, they see a person coming, or they're not going to charge the human being. They'd probably turn around and run off into the forest and not bother you. But it's just, you know, it's all just propaganda and all of this. But,
well, we've gotten so far away from Mother Earth that we see her creatures as something to be feared and gotten rid of. And we have the power, we have the arms to do it, the power, the gun power to do whatever we want. And so we do. And, I mean, to me, this is another reason why I want to teach everybody I know Reiki, because when you learn how to meditate with an open heart, really to me what we're doing when we do Reiki is we're learning how to open our hearts and be present. And when you do that truly from your own heart, there's no way that you can continue to see the world in that negative fashion anymore. You begin to see how connected we all are, how we are all really the same. You know, I say that a lot. You know, when you're sitting with an animal, when you first learn Reiki, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to do Reiki with my horse. You know, how is that going to work? Are they going to like it? What's going to happen? And I've had a lot of students, actually, who do Reiki with animals that they don't know anything about, and they learn so much about them because it's like a communication on a heart level, and that's actually the most important part of a person, I mean, or an animal. I mean, in a way, who really cares what species you are? You know, who are you? Who is your being? Who is your heart? What is your spirit? You know, that is the most important thing. So if we all knew Reiki and we all practiced Reiki, we would all see that we're just all beautiful, bright lights on this beautiful planet, and that we're so fragile. You know, our lives are so short and our bodies are so fragile, and what a miracle that we're alive and that we should just be together and help each other, you know. And I don't know. To me, that's really what the lesson teaches so many people who do Reiki with animals. It's that feeling of connection and then that inspiration to go out and help others. I mean, that's really the core of it.
But it's true. And to me, Reiki is, and I said this on my web, Reiki is love. And I know a lot of people now are starting to say the same thing. Reiki is love. Because when I'm giving Reiki, I've noticed that it's the same feeling as if I'm giving my love to someone. And when I say giving my love, I mean just having unconditional love flow from me to another human being. And it's very much akin, the energies are very much akin to each other. Unconditional love, Reiki.
Right. Right. Because what is the ultimate healing? Okay, Reiki is about healing, right?
Right.
What is the ultimate healing? Well, I hurt my knee. Can you help my knee feel better? Or can you help my heart, you know, my soul, my spirit? I mean, that is the ultimate healing. You know, who cares in a way about our physical body? I mean, we do get distracted about it, but the most to me, and having being a two-time cancer survivor, I'm speaking from personal experience that, yes, I wanted to heal from cancer, but beneath that, I realized that it was my spirit and heart that needed to heal if anything else was going to be able to heal.
Right, right, exactly.
And that's what Reiki touches. Reiki touches that deepest essence. And I think that's because, you know, Usui originally taught his students about spiritual development and reaching enlightenment. You know, he wasn't in this for the surface. He was in this for really the deep teachings, the deepest, most heartfelt teachings is really what it was about. And so I think sometimes we forget that because we get so distracted. But, I mean, for me, my work with the animals, and I, you know, Brighthaven, which is an animal sanctuary where I teach here in Northern California, I teach classes there every month, and they're a hospice for special needs and senior animals. And that they teach this lesson every single day. Don't look with your eyes. Look with your heart. Don't see me for my illness. Don't see me for my age, for my frailty. See me for my spirit, for my true self, you know. And I have so many students that come there and they walk in the door and they look around and they go, oh, no, all these old animals with all these things. And then by the time they leave at the end of the weekend, they're like, oh, my God, these animals have taught me so much. They're so amazing. They're so strong. They're so joyful. They're so, you know, they can't even believe because they've learned to let go of the surface and to see that deeper essence. It's a gift that Reiki brings, but it's a gift that the animals bring too.
Exactly. And for a very, very long time on Facebook, when people would go to my, my wall and they'd look and there would be a picture of a wolf and no one, I honestly say like the first 3 years or no, not even, it's much, much, let's say nine, no, I think it's the first 3 years that I was on Facebook, no one knew what Violet Rose Reiki looked like, the person behind the Reiki practice, Violet Rose Reiki. Because they
The wolf.
They were always looking at a wolf. And
that's
people
beautiful.
Would say, like, you know, why, where's you? And what's with this wolf? And one guy even said to me, he wrote to me, he says, I have to unfriend you because you don't have your photo up there. And I'm not friends with people who don't put their real, you know, the real them. And I said to him, listen to me. That is the real me, okay? I said, I have a deep, deep soul connection with wolf. Wolf is my totem, one of my totem. He was my first totem animal. Mm-hmm. I said, I have such a soul connection that when I read or I hear of a wolf being shot and killed, I feel it in my gut. I said, it goes deep down to my soul as if someone took that shot at me. I said, so what you're seeing is me. I said, that is my persona. That is my soul. You just want to see what my vessel is, the vessel that soul is inside of. And so that's telling me that that's a very important thing to you and that your focus is really on the wrong thing. So if you want to unfriend me, that's fine. And he
good
did, and
you.
I was cool.
I
was cool with that because, yeah, everybody is so superficial. And look what they're doing to young girls these days. Airbrushed photos, 90 pounds, you know, 5'10" women want to be 90 pounds. I saw a Victoria's Secret commercial last week or the week before, and you're watching this commercial. They have all these beautiful women in bras looking very beautiful and sexy. And the last girl, I wish I could have gotten a shot of that photo on the TV with my camera, but they aired the commercial about 3 or 4 times, and it was never quick enough. The last girl they show you, you look at the bra that they're selling you, and underneath it are like 4 ribs. And I said, that's really not something you want young girls seeing. I have to look like that. I have to have ribs sticking out. Nobody cares about people. No one, and I know there are a lot of campaigns for women to, like the Dove campaign, you know, anybody is a perfect body, which is fantastic. But you still have designers and companies that sell products and things that are still saying, hey, that vessel better be perfect. It better be perfect.
I'll tell you why. It's a lot easier to look at the surface of things and to say, oh, okay, well, you know, inside I'm a horrible mess, but I'm going to go buy those jeans and at least I'll look like I'm put together. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Then we can buy the shoes, buy the jeans, you know, whatever, get the makeover, you know, lose the weight, do whatever. And now we look put together. Now we can, you know, everybody's going to think that we're together, but inside we're a horrible mess. But guess what? When you get with an animal, they know exactly if you're a mess. You cannot lie to an animal. You can look as put together as you want. You can be as thin and perfect makeup, and the animal can look at you and go, oh, honey, you are a disaster.
You're
and,
a mess.
And I'm here. I'm going to sit here with you and help you. And I love that about animals, that you can't trick them. You can't put on a facade because they immediately see beneath. And for me, Reiki also gives us that gift, that the deeper we go into our practice and the more that we really connect with Reiki, the more that we can also see beneath the surface and we can sense and know a person and who they are. And the animals, too. I mean, it happens. We can also know the animals and really know who they are. So I just think that is another beautiful gift of Reiki. But the animals already are there. And so that's why, to me, I can do my Reiki practice. But if I do my Reiki practice in the pasture with my horse, wow, that is a great experience. Because it's, you know, just who he is, who my horse is so more aware and so much deeper. So sharing that energetic space while I do my practice is an awesome experience.
Yeah.
So I encourage all your listeners to go do that. Do your Reiki practice with your animal next time.
That's right. And if you don't have a horse, I'll tell you where you can go do Reiki with a horse. The horse would love it up in Pennsylvania. There's a rescue place that they have a lot of volunteers. They're doing Reiki on the horses, doing the equine Reiki, and it's great.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and if I ever get my car together, I'm going to take a ride up there and check it out. I was hoping to do Reiki on wolves, but my connection has moved, and I don't know if I'm ever going to get to do that one day, but I'm going to keep persisting.
Yes, definitely.
Getting back into what you were saying about, we were both saying about the vessels, I really have to mention this. I do know of a person who was very, very overweight. At the same time, she had a lot of personal issues and a lot of spiritual, mental, the whole gamut. I mean, she really, this girl needed help. And she went, and she was approaching 50 and was desperate to, she had set a goal, I must be married by 50. Like, what? Okay, so she had this goal, and she went on it and started working on the vessel. And she dieted. And then she went for bypass surgery. She had the bypass surgery, which we all know that's not really a picnic. And then after the bypass surgery, she had the body sculpting done. So long story short, here she is. She has a perfect body now. She has the body she's always dreamed of. And in her mind, well, this is going to get me a boyfriend, a man, a husband. Yes? No. Because she hadn't done the work on herself, on the inside her. The outside her looked gorgeous. The inside her was still a mess. It was a very dark place. It was a very hurtful place. It was a very messed up place. And to this day, she has not done that work as far as I know. And her life is not where she wants it to be. She's a very unhappy individual. So, yeah,
she needs to learn Reiki.
Yeah, I mean, that's living proof that, you know, you have to do the inside work. And a lot of people don't know that about Reiki. Reiki, a lot of people just say, well, it's hands-on healing. It's so much more than that. Because, like you said, Mikao Sui, you know, he found Reiki because he was looking for basically the meaning of life. And when the one master said to him, well, in order to find that, you must die. He didn't mean literally die. But, and that's what prompted Usui to go do the meditation on the mountain. And that's how he came to find Reiki. And that's what it's all about. You know, go inside. You're looking for something, go within. And when you go within and you start working on polishing the diamond, which is polishing yourself, you are the diamond. So when you start polishing yourself personally and developing personally, then you grow and you start to develop yourself spiritually. Well, then you're the whole package.
Well, and your light begins to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. The more you polish, the brighter your light shines and brighter. And guess what? The animals see that light. I think people see it too, but they may not realize it. But animals totally see it, and they are drawn to it. The more that you polish your diamond, the more the animals will come to you to share your space, to share your light, to share their light with your light, to connect. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm sure you get this because I know looking through the photos that put up photos to advertise this segment of the show, and you could see your life like, whoa, you know, she's beaming. And I'm sure people say to you what they say to me, I love your energy. You have such beautiful energy. And it's like, cool, because I'd rather people enjoy my energy and my light and say, oh, your face is so beautiful. You know, your eyes are gorgeous. That's all secondary.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think for me too, I mean, having gone through I was diagnosed with breast cancer 3 years ago, and I had a recurrence a little less than a year ago. So the last 3 years have been a lot about, you know, what some could say would be about loss, you know, going through surgery and going through radiation and going through facing death and not knowing. And, you know, I was 41 when I was diagnosed. So I understand when you get older, you know, you have these things. But I was like, what? Why am I 41 and having to deal with all this loss and like, realizing that life may be over, you know, and what does that mean? But what it really I have to say, okay, yeah, it sucked and everything, but actually it was a blessing in a way, because it forced me to let go of the surface. It forced me to let go of my body, because I thought, well, maybe my body's failing me and I'm not going to be around very much longer. And to realize on such a visceral level that my practice really saved me and got me through, my Reiki practice, because I knew that my Reiki could carry me through even if I die. My Reiki can carry me through. And having sat with many animals as they've passed over the years, including, you know, the animals who are in hospice at Brighthaven, but also my own dog, Dakota, who passed away several years ago, and having Reiki to support those transitional experiences, like, I understood that, yeah, Reiki can help and make it peaceful. But to face that myself was a very profound experience that, and it's difficult for me to even describe. I can't quite explain, but I feel so deeply and strong about Reiki now. I did before. I mean, I've been doing Reiki since 1998. It's really taken over my life since then. But beyond that, going through a cancer experience with the aid of Reiki, like, I don't know how people do without that. I just can't even imagine it. I'm so grateful for my practice, and I'm so grateful for the animals. You know, they also were there and came to be with me and to support me during my whole experience and getting well, you know, so selflessly. It's been just a beautiful, you know, an ugly, terrible, but also beautiful experience.
Yeah, definitely. What was it that brought you to Reiki in the first place before you started even with animals? Or was it because you loved animals so much you gravitated to the Reiki? How did that work?
Well, actually, I found Reiki first. I always loved animals since I was little and was very connected to them. They were like my best friends all growing up as a child and everything. Absolutely adored. And I was also an empath, which made me very connected and understood animals, but also very easily overwhelmed in large groups of humans. And so I suffered with terrible anxiety and panic attacks since I was about 4. And so I found Reiki and really began to feel a significant shift in the anxiety and feeling. I just knew after I had my first Reiki treatment that was going to heal me of my anxiety. I just knew it. And I had suffered with it for, you know, 25 years. And I just knew that first treatment. It was so strong. It was so powerful. It went right to the core of my being. And I could feel it tugging at all of that old stuff that I thought I would just always have my whole life. And I thought, oh, my God. This is the key. This is the key. And so that was what, I started doing Reiki immediately, every day, because I was like, oh, my God, I've suffered so many years, and now I'm going to heal myself. I know I can. And at that time, then the animals, my dog and my horse, started coming to me when I would be doing self-treatment. My dog would, like, lay on top of my feet, and I'm like, what are you doing? He'd never done that in his whole life until I did Reiki, self-treatment. And one day I went, well, do you want Reiki? And I sat down and put my hands on him, and he rolled over and went, ah. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So then I realized, wow, not only do the animals want Reiki and like it, but they knew I was doing it before I even told them. Like, they sensed. So it was like all these light bulbs in my head went off. Like, wow, they really get this stuff. And I'm struggling with it, but they seem to already know what it is. Wow, I wonder if my dog and my horse can, like, teach me about Reiki, because I'm still learning and new. And so my journey with Reiki, I had human teachers, but I also had my animal teachers. For some reason, from the very beginning, I realized that they were going to show me sometimes more than the humans could in that realm, in that energetic realm. And so that is sort of how things began, and look where I am now. Wow, never would have expected that.
See, things just happen. You don't know. I mean, when I went to Reiki, because I had really, really bad lower back pain, and doctors couldn't do anything, and chiropractors couldn't do anything. It was like constant. It was like, God, can't anybody fix this, please? And I saw a Reiki flyer and said, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And I went to Reiki, and I don't know how I was going to go for a treatment, but I wound up going into a level one class. I mean, things happen so fast when, like, spirits just guide you, go and do this. And like, okay. And I did my level one. And again, like you, I did the self-treatment every day. I did it every day. And then about 3 months after that, we had a huge snowstorm. And my ex-husband had already left, and I was alone. And I'm like, you have to shovel this snow, Rose. And I'm like, dear God, what am I going to do? So I got the shovel, and I said, okay, let's go. I have the Reiki, so if I throw my back out, I can, you know, fix it. And it was amazing. I had shoveled such like 200 feet of snow, and when I finished, I stood on my patio. Yeah, it wasn't the fastest shoveling of 200 feet, but nonetheless, it was shoveling. And I stood on my patio, and I looked and said, oh, my God, God bless Reiki. This was Reiki in action, because I could never have done that, you know, on my own without the Reiki. I mean, really, it's like, you know, and then I went to the level two class, and, when I learned about the symbols, and I remember drawing symbols when I was a child, not knowing what they were, but again, I'm natural born psychic, so, you know, if spirit said, draw this, I did it, and it was like, I know that, I've done that, what the heck is this? And then my grandfather on my father's side was a healer, in that he would do healing work on babies. Everyone in the Brooklyn area where my dad grew up, they would bring their babies to my grandfather, and my aunt, when she would always tell the story, was like, yeah, well, you know, my father would hold the baby in his left hand, and he'd pass his right hand over the baby, and just keep, you know, hands over the baby and praying or whatever, and the baby would, you know, be much better. So I'm like, okay, so grandpa on mom's side was psychic, and now grandpa on dad's side did healing work. So and I'm sitting here in a level two class, and I'm drawing these things that I know I've drawn before but didn't know what they were. So here I am learning them. I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Light bulb moment.
How beautiful.
And yeah, and that's how I got into Reiki. And I thought it was, I mean, I never thought I was going to be teaching Reiki, never in my life. And I just said, well, I'll take it. It's great. But it got to a point where I said, this is just so fantastic. Not only do I have to tell the world about this, but I really have got to teach it to as many people who would like to learn it. And the world needs this. The world needs mm-hmm. Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love
I
it when I
that
see
too.
That.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the ultimate peacemaker.
It
me,
is.
Isn't it?
It is. And I mean, you know, people are worried about, you know, competition and who's got a bigger practice. It's like, that's all irrelevant. There are a gazillion people on this planet, and we don't have enough Reiki practitioners.
That's
don't
right.
Don't worry about it, you know.
More.
Everybody should know this. This is like, everyone has an emergency kit in their house. Well, everybody should have a Reiki practitioner in their house.
Right, Reiki 911.
That's right. And that's why, thank you so much. I have to say thank you. I noticed you liked Reiki Ward today. And that's kind of why, you know, I developed Reiki Ward, because it's like, we're there for you 24/7, whatever happens, you know, post it and we'll get right on it. And we do humans and animals, and we have a great success rate with both. And I just love it when, you know, the animals, when it works out for the animals. As a matter of fact, years ago, I had gotten an email, and someone asked to have their horse worked on, because she wrote in and said, my horse has a fever and an infection, and please help him. I said, okay, fine, no problem. Started working on the horse on a Thursday evening, and then Friday was my Reiki circle. So I cut out wallet-sized photos of the horse to give everyone in this circle a photo of the horse so that when we did a Reiki Mawashi to send Reiki to the horse, everybody had something to as a focal point, the picture and what have you. Then they left. That was Friday night. It was really late. I was working, and I just heard my spirit guide whispers in my ear, you might want to Google the name of that horse. And now I think I'm hallucinating because I'm going, what? And I Google the name of the horse, and everything started to make sense because when I got the photo of the horse, it looked like a racehorse. And I'm like, oh, isn't it cute? They have the horse dressed like a racehorse. I'm not thinking this is an actual racehorse that races professionally. So I Googled the horse's name, and lo and behold, the horse is scheduled to run in the Kentucky Derby either the following Saturday or 2 weeks from that night. And I'm like, oh, my God. And in Googling the horse, now this is Saturday morning. She has sent in her request, I think, Tuesday. And we did the group healing on Friday. The news said the horse's name, which I'm not going to say for privacy reasons, but they said the horse's, you know, the horse, the fever had broken. They had the horse out on the track practicing, you know, for the Kentucky Derby. He was scheduled to run the Kentucky Derby. The horse did win, He did run the Derby, which is something that the trainer had wanted. He wanted one of his horses that he was training to run the Derby, and this man had waited for this to happen his entire life. And also the owner of the horse. So he ran the Derby. He did not win, but the fact that he ran the Derby, I guess the Reiki worked.
Well, definitely a good improvement in the health pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I think that the power of the healing circle and the healing community is really important when we talk about Reiki. And I have, like myself, I have a couple of community circles. I've got, I have an Animal Reiki Source Yahoo group, which we've had for years, and we have a lot of members, and people post animals that need healing, and sometimes people too. We do mostly
that
animals, but every once in a while a person will go, is it okay, I'm sick today? So we're like, yes, you're an animal too.
That's great.
We do all kinds of animals. Every month I do the Animal Reiki Talk, which is like the first Tuesday of every month, and it's like a teleconference where you can call in or you can listen online. And people call in and ask questions and talk about animal Reiki, but at the end I lead a meditation, and everybody invites in their animals who need healing. I get so much great feedback from both the Yahoo group and the Animal Reiki Talk from people. And for me, it's really powerful when you network with the community, when you ask for support and help, and we hold hands in this work. It's incredibly powerful for the animals. It's incredibly powerful for us as well.
Now, where is the Animal Reiki Talk? Is that also on Yahoo?
That's actually on TalkShoe, which is like a teleconference. So there's a link.
How do people find it?
So if people go to www.talkshoe.com, and then you under the search you put in Animal Reiki Source, then it will come up. It's a publicly listed call. And so it'll come up, and then you just click on the link. So the next one, I just had the one on Tuesday for this month, so we won't have another one until September. But you can listen to all of the pre-recorded ones. So there are hours and hours of them. And people like who can't be there live like to listen in, because you can get little tips and just from hearing the discussion about Animal Reiki. Plus, you can do the meditation at the end with your animals. So it's nice to be able to do that.
Okay, so they should go to animaltalkshoe.com.
No, just TalkShoe, www.talkshoe.com.
Okay. And then they're going to click on animal?
And then you, there's like a search. I'm going to put up the page so I can tell you. So it says search. So you put in the keyword is Animal Reiki Source.
Okay.
And then
there it is. Yes,
animal
I see
Reiki
you.
Talk.
Yep. I just did it, and I see you. Great. Okay.
And I also have the old ones that are recorded that you can listen to are also on iTunes as well.
Cool.
So it's called the Animal Reiki Talk, and you can find it on iTunes as well. So there's lots of places to listen in. And I try to, you know, in my work, I do, of course, have classes, and I offer private distant treatments and things, but I also like to have lots of free resources to people. So the Animal Reiki Talk and all the recordings is a free resource. On my website, animalreikisource.com, I have tons of information. I've got a lot of articles, dozens of articles to read. I also have free audio interviews, like you know, like the one that we're doing tonight, and other interviews that I've done in the past. I have maybe 8 or 9 of them that you can listen to that are absolutely free. So you can, you know, learn a lot about Animal Reiki without having to spend any money. I also have a Facebook page, Animal Reiki Source, and I post all kinds of interesting animal stories and Animal Reiki tips on that page every day. Today I posted my Animal Reiki hip-hop song, which I noticed that you liked. So thank you.
I loved that. That was so great. That was so wonderful. This is so cool.
Yeah. Very, very fun. Very fun doing that. I mean, to me, it's like sometimes, you know, we get so serious with all the healing and, you know, because it is serious when our animals are ill or our people that we love, when they're sick or we're facing maybe, you know, something very heavy, but it feels so good to be light. And so a lot of times, you know, I try to lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah,
so this was an example of that. You know, we're doing important work, but let's smile and dance while we're doing it.
Yeah, and it's not so bad to, you know, smile and laugh while you're doing Reiki. Nobody says that when you're doing Reiki, you have to force it. You have to be there with your eyes closed and your brows knit and you look like you're constipated and, you know, oh, I'm going to get this Reiki in here with all I've got. It's like, no. It should be a natural flowing. It should be a natural flowing, loving, healing. So your website is www.animalreikisource.com, right?
Yes.
I got that right. Okay. And, you also, let's see, you're going to be here in New York City in September.
I am. I'm very excited about it. I'm going to be coming at the end of the month. I'm going to be doing a book talk, actually, at Namaste Bookshop.
Yeah,
on
she's
Wednesday,
a friend of mine. Well,
oh,
Libby.
Great.
Yeah, it's not the owner, but he's also like a co-somebody over there. And he also is the person who is doing the documentary on our sensei, Hayako Inamoto, which is wonderful.
Oh,
Geoga.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to meeting him. I'm going to be there Wednesday, September 24th to do a book signing and talk of Reiki for Dogs. My topic's going to be Reiki for Animals, The Animal Lover's Path to Peace and Healing.
That's
going to
be
I'm
great.
Really looking forward.
Yeah, everybody who's listening, Kathleen is going to be at Namaste Bookshop Wednesday, September 24. Namaste Bookshop is located at 2 West 14th Street, New York, and she's going to be there from 6:30 to 8, and the cost is free. So there's no reason you guys shouldn't be running down there on September 24th. And I might even run down there myself if it's a 40-minute train ride from where I am, but we'll see.
Oh, I'd love to meet you in person.
Oh, same here. Then you're doing Animal Haven in New York City as well. You're doing a 3-day Animal Reiki teacher training.
Yes.
And a 1-day mindfulness meditation.
So, and 25% of the proceeds will be donated to Animal Haven. So it'll be a fundraiser for them as well. They're a shelter with a dog and cat shelter in New York City. And
I'm very excited to be able to teach there, and the animals will, of course, be teaching us there as well, and also to be able to give something back to them for all the great work that they do. Well, it'll be a wonderful experience. It's my first time teaching in New York, so very excited.
That's cool. So
yeah.
Great. Your work is amazing. I mean, you're Animal Reiki teacher. You're the founder and director of the Animal Reiki Source. You're doing these classes. This is just wonderful. Because I think
a lot of times
people don't realize, you know, yeah, Reiki is for animals too. You know, they're like, oh, whatever. But no, it's a very wonderful thing for animals, and it's really saved a lot of animals on occasion. I mean, I know it's just saved a lot of humans, but
I haven't mentioned my nonprofit, which is the Shelter Animal Reiki Association, and we work specifically with animals in shelters and sanctuaries. And we have over 200 members worldwide. We have over 50 shelters and sanctuaries and nonprofit animal organizations that have implemented our Reiki program. And the results are phenomenal. And we have our newest member actually is a dog rescue in India. But we have people in Canada and all over the United States, in Canada and England, Slovakia, India, and even South America, Colombia, and of course Australia. So we have lots of and we see these are traumatized, many of them traumatized animals and have all these issues, and the Reiki has been so powerful and so profound that, you know, the staff and owners of these organizations are asking for more Reiki and to actually learn themselves. So some of the centers, you know, and the Shelter Animal Reiki Association, we call it SARA. Some of the SARA places are just, you know, the animals get Reiki treatments by our practitioners, but we also have training programs all over the world because the staff wants to learn, because it is so incredibly helpful in the work that they do just caretaking the animals. So it does save lives, and it makes a difference too in the adoption rates in these places. It's just such powerful work, and I'm so honored and humbled to be able to help the animals because they have helped so much in my life. They've helped me so much, so it feels good to give back to them.
I like the acronym for that, SARA. It's wonderful because you know, in Hebrew the name SARA is a woman of high rank, kind of like a princess or a noble woman. So
nice.
So it's like it's perfect. It's a perfect. The acronym is a perfect name for the Shelter Animal Reiki Association. I love it.
Yay. I didn't even know that, so that's even better.
yeah. See, everything flows. When you just let it go and let things go where they're supposed to go, everything flows in the right direction. It's the ego that upsets the apple cart. It's man thinking they're more intelligent and they know it all. Well, again, that's ego upsetting the apple cart. If you just let it flow, it'll go in the right place. I have a caller. I know who this is by the phone number. This is my student and friend, Joseph. Let's get him on air. Good evening, Joseph. You're on Violet Reiki Radio with Rose and Kathleen.
Good evening, Rosie. Good evening, Kathleen. Rose,
hi.
As you know, I love your show immensely. I try to get every show when I can when I'm present or at home. And every one of them are much better than the other. It's inspiring or inspiring me. But tonight, by far, Kathleen, you've knocked my socks off. Even though I'm not wearing socks, I got sandals on today. But it just touched my heart. As yourself and Rose, I'm an animal lover and an empath, a psychic for many years, all my life. And I love animals. And since I've studied Reiki with Rose, my dear friend, for over 30-something years, it took me that long because I was so busy with my own ministry and work. And as I was doing my church business, I had Reiki centers right where I taught out of Carnegie Hall offices. I could never get to a Reiki class or, And finally one day when Rose got into Reiki, I said, you know, who not my best friend? I will be, you know, teaching with her, learning with her. So she finally convinced me to do it, which I praise God and thank God every day for the wonderful gift of Reiki. Now, I've always had an affinity like yourself with animals. Since I've been doing Reiki, I got to tell you, and Rose knows this too, I have a neighbor who has like 3 dogs, 5 chihuahuas, and they breed them constantly, and they have this cat. These animals come in my house every day. When I open my door, they run in my house. One, and I'm allergic to cats. I love cats, but it's many years that I've gotten asthma back. Although since I've been doing Reiki, I have not had an asthma attack or a severe allergy attack with cats. But I try not to take a chance and let them stay in too long. This cat comes in and rolls all over on her belly or his belly. I think it's a he. And the dogs just won't let me go. And what you said about the love from the animals and the healing, you're so on the money. Kathleen, I thank God for you. You're a wonderful, wonderful soul. Keep up the good work. God give you hundreds of years of life and keep up doing what you're doing with the animals and send that Reiki out and teach the world about it together with Rose. You guys got a great mission and it definitely comes from God. And God bless you both so much.
Oh,
and thank you, Rose.
You.
For the show and the opportunity to share these wonderful people like Kathleen that you have on your show.
Oh, I'm so happy. It's so great to have people like Kathleen and my other guests. You know, when I had Franz on, and last week we had Janet Emmerich, who is very, very involved in equine Reiki and helping with healing of the horses over in Pennsylvania. Mm. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And the animals do really respond so well to it.
Oh, yes, indeed. I was thinking about my Tubby as she was talking about her animals and how Tubby would come when my dad was, you know, ailing towards the end of his life with cancer and me with my health issues, how that dog would sit there and just rub against us and allow us to pet and lick. When before I even knew my father had the melanoma in the foot, that dog would go and lick his foot, and there was no telltale signs of a wound or anything at that time. And the dog knew beforehand, as Kathleen said, they know and they sense. And I always said, by far, children and animals are the most psychic beings besides those of us that are empaths and mediums and sensitive. But children and animals, by far, and non-judgmental, and the greatest empaths and the greatest psychics, mm-hmm. you know. So we're so privileged to be privy to that knowledge. But you guys are really doing wonderful, wonderful work. I can't express the words. I want to hug you both and squeeze you with loving blessings, both of you.
Well, you'll have to. Well, maybe you and I will have to go into New York City when Kathleen is there during her book signing.
Oh, that would be great. That would be wonderful.
We can have a group hug.
Yes.
Up to me. And indeed, by your picture, you are the most beautiful, beautiful soul. You are dearly beautiful in body, soul, and spirit. Bless you, and I salute your divinity.
Oh, thank you.
And stay well now, okay? Keep hugging those animals. They will give you health and strength and long life.
Yes, they will.
All right, Rosie, I'll talk to you later on.
Yes, I'll see you later on.
Love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's my cat. She gets upset if she doesn't see her Uncle Joey every night. And it's true what he says because he came and visited with some friends on Sunday. And he's very allergic to cats, but I saw him touch her, and I'm like, oh, dear God, he's going to have a breakout or whatever. And later on that night when he got home, he said to me, do you know, I didn't have a breakout from the cat. He said, I touched her, and I have no signs of a breakout. I've had no problems. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
That's great.
Yeah, he's an avid Reiki practitioner. He does his Reiki every day. Like he says, sometimes he'll even do more than just in the morning and the evening. He'll do it in the afternoon. It depends on how he feels. If he's really hurting one day, if he has very bad osteoarthritis and he has another kind of psoriatic arthritis, poor man's a wreck. But he's using the Reiki and it's helping him. And I'm happy to say he's doing very well with it.
That's awesome. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, and you know, like you said, it's that love thing. The cat, after she saw him in person on Sunday, she sees him on Skype every night when we chat. But after he left that Sunday, she was so happy, Kathleen. Nothing could ruin her day. She was
Aww,
just
that's sweet.
Loving it. and I was happy to see her happy. But so now, a silly question, but yeah, you're doing all these different animals, and I know there are a lot of people on human Reiki, they're all hung up on hand positions. Use yes. different hand positions? Are you worried about hand positions? Is there something that's called animal hand positions?
Well, first I'm going to say animals don't have hands, unless except for the monkeys.
Right.
So hands aren't really that important. So because really for us, we're very tactile creatures. And it's kind of the way we experience our world is through our hands. And it's the way we express things like compassion often by, you know, a hand on the shoulder or a hug. You know, this is kind of who we are in our species. So it makes a lot of sense to me when we want to show compassion, to open our hearts, to be in a certain deep-hearted presence with another human, that we have develop these hands-on healing rituals. But for animals, they are connecting with us at a much deeper level. So they don't require the hands the way that humans do. And in fact, for some animals, it is too intense. They don't like it.
Right.
So the most important thing I say to my students is you have to let go of your hands. Because as long as you even focus your mind on your hands, it's going to feel very pointy, pokey, uncomfortable because animals are so sensitive. But as soon as you let go of your hands and you imagine that you're just in like this beautiful, beautiful Reiki light that's shining everywhere from all of your being, animals can come to that light and then you can put your hands on them because you're not focusing on your hands. So it's not like these two beams of light coming out your hands into the animal. See, some people with Reiki, they imagine that. Well, if you imagine that with a person, I'm not going to know if you're imagining that. I'm just laying on the table going to sleep for my Reiki treatment. You can imagine whatever you want. But with an animal, you imagine there's light coming out your hands, you know, to heal this or that. That's like a poke. They, like, feel that. It's very intense for them. And it's often very uncomfortable for the sensitive ones. So when we become more expansive in our mind and we realize that we are Reiki, that Reiki comes from every part of us, and this is why the Japanese techniques like the Joshin Kokyoho, the Hara breathing meditation, are so valuable because they help us to soften our focus. So when our focus is softer, then the animals are more accepting of the hands-on Reiki. But what I say is, number one, always let the animals be the ones to initiate hands-on healing. Don't be the one to go over and put your hands on your dog or your cat. Always start a few feet away. If you're at home, sitting on your couch, sitting in a chair, hands palms up or palms down on your lap, and going inward. Then let the animals show you. If it's your cat or dog, they'll come forward. They might get in your lap. Your dog might come and put one paw on your hand or, you know, sometimes if animal, like if you're with your horse in the pasture and your horse has a sore leg, they might turn and push their leg into you, and then you can put your hands on their leg. So animals will guide you. So sometimes if the animal shows you, yes, I want hands-on Reiki, then they might stay in the same position and relax and go to sleep. Well, don't disturb that position just because in your mind you're like, oh, I need to do a series of hand positions. You know, this is, again, human ritual. Just relax.
Kathleen,
I
have to tell you something. Because this is a never before. This is a first on Violet Reiki Radio. You're talking, and the last 2 minutes, my cat, Pash, has been here. She came into the office here and came in, like, kind of poked me, like, hey, I'm down here. And I picked her up, and I've been holding her, and she's been purring. Now she's grabbing the mouthpiece of my headset like, I want to talk to her. I want to tell Kathleen how much I love her and I love what she's doing. And I think this is wonderful, Mommy. She's looking at me and she's closing her eyes like, yes, everything you're saying I agree with. I think this is great. I think more people should learn. I think more animals should give and get Reiki. And I'm on board for this. Tell Kathleen I love her.
Aw, that's so sweet. I love
that.
Yeah,
you've got a new fan.
I had an experience at a Reiki school that I went to speak at, and it was at the teacher's home. And little did I know that she had a rescued feral that lived under her bed upstairs. So I'm sitting in the living room with a group of 15 people, and she especially never comes out when there's people over. And I'm sitting telling them the same thing I'm telling you. The animals always choose. We never force anything. The animal leads. The animal guides. We always listen to them. This cat comes down and starts rubbing back and forth against my legs. So I'm reaching down, talking, and petting the cat. I have no idea. I think it's their family cat that sits on people's laps. The cat then rolls over on their back with the belly in the air right in front of me, falls asleep. Then a few minutes later, I start talking about animals are healers. Animals will come forward and help you to heal. So in the Reiki space, you can help each other. The cat gets up and goes and sits against right against three of these students sitting on a couch, first one, then the other, then the other. And I'm like, see, this cat here is healing you guys. And the one of the ladies started to cry and said, oh, one of my cats had passed, and, I have a lot of grief, and just I haven't sat with a cat since it happened, and this cat being here is really helping me. And then the teacher goes, I have to tell you something. That cat is feral and never has come out before. And then everyone looked at the cat and went, what? And then the cat went, and turned and ran out of the room. We never saw the cat again for the rest of the evening because he was discovered. But it's like you say, when the animals understand and hear every thought that's in your mind, and so it's so important when we do Reiki with them that we stay positive. A lot of the work I do is with affirmations, so that we stay positive. So instead of thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to the house of a person that has a very misbehaved cat and they're very naughty and they need to be, you know, fixed. Instead we go in, oh, what a beautiful cat. You are so loved in this home. This home is so wonderful. I'm so honored to be here and humbled, and I'm joyful to connect with you. And just those kind of shifts make a huge difference in whether the cat is going to come over to you or turn and run and stay away from you. So when we work with people, we don't have to think about these things. Well, there are, as you know, there's some of us that are very empathic that would pick up on this stuff. But for the most part, we can get away with a whole lot of stuff with people. And with animals, they keep us honest all the way through to our core because they see all the way through to our core.
It's true. And now she left, and she's sitting outside the door to my office looking at me like, yes. I like it. I love it. I'm going to sit here to the end of the show. Okay.
Beautiful.
Whatever works for you, you know. I have a feral. He's hysterical. And, like, people say to me, well, what do you do with him in winter? I said, you're not going to believe this. I've been taking care of this cat for 4 or 5 years now. He came from the house behind me that had burned down, and he lost his owner. And, actually, this is wild because I saw the owner in the yard one day in spirit form, and I knew he said to this cat, go to this lady, she'll take care of you. And I remember looking at the spirit of my neighbor, Tom, going, really, really, seriously? And I did. I took care of the cat, but the cat never wants to come inside. I've tried to get him inside. My other next-door neighbor had tried to get him inside. Doesn't want to be indoors, and he was an indoor-outdoor cat. He knows what being indoors is like. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want it. So we've been fearing for him in the winter because in New York it gets very cold and gets very snowy. And I don't know. It's been 4 winters. He lives outside even in winter. Don't know where he goes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the yards. You know, my neighbor's yard is packed with all kinds of stuff. I guess he gets himself in the middle of all of that or something, but he just wants to be free. He'll, you know, when he comes, we both feed him. He'll let you pet him. He'll get on his back and roll around. But him coming indoors in winter, nope, don't want no part of it. Mm-hmm. So we just let him be, you know, not going to force him, you know, to stay indoors. That's not what he wants. So, he's adorable. But they're amazing. I mean, they're just so amazing. So this is great. I know people worry about, you know, where do I put my hands on the animals or this or that. Like, look, just slap your hands on the animal and go.
I always say, you know, let the animal guide you. You know, just let them be the ones to guide you. And the more that you learn how to be Reiki instead of do Reiki,
right,
the better responses you'll get from the animals. So my typical thing that I tell people is to just do a meditation. Go inward, shine your light, and then let the animal come to that light. And that might mean that they sit 5 feet away and stare at you, or they lay down and fall asleep leaning up against you, or they crawl into your lap, or maybe if it's a dog, often dogs are very active and they'll walk around and they'll do some sniffing, or they'll lay down and they'll wake up, go over, drink some water, come back, lay down. Or if you're with a horse, they might be grazing the whole time. It doesn't mean that they're not taking Reiki. Animals are, you know, they don't have to lay down on a massage table and go to sleep. Some animals go to sleep during Reiki. Some animals stay more active during Reiki. If you're doing Reiki for a six-month-old Jack Russell puppy versus a 15-year-old golden retriever, you're going to see a different kind of response. You know, younger animals, animals that are more hyper, that have more energy, they take Reiki in little spurts. You know, a little bit here, yeah, then they come back, then they go away, then they come back, then they go away. So if we can't be the mountain and be stable and hold the space, we're never going to be able to see that. We're going to sit with them, they're going to come up to us, and then 2 minutes later, walk away. Oh, okay, I guess they're done. Okay, bye. And then they come back 2 minutes later. Hey, where'd she go? I was going to have some more Reiki. She's gone.
Right, right. You're like a fountain to them, you know. They come when they're thirsty, they go away, and then, oh, wait a minute, I'm thirsty again. They want to be able to go back to that.
Right. So the patience aspect is really important with animals. So we need to develop our own ability to sit for 30 to 60 minutes and hold the space. And then within that time frame, to let the animals come to us, move away, come, move away. Now, some animals will come and stay with us and go to sleep and want hands-on Reiki, and it's more typical of like a human treatment. But that always has to be from the animal. You know, they have to be the ones to decide. So, you know, as humans, because human Reiki treatment looks always the same. You know, you go, you lay down on the table, and you have hand position. So, in, you know, maybe the hand positions vary a little and things vary a little, but mostly that's what it looks like. So when we work with animals, a lot of times as humans, we have a lot of preconceptions. We're like, okay, well, I need to put my hands on you. I need to do different hand positions, and you need to stay still, and you need to be relaxed the whole time. So
right,
in a way, that's not fair, because we're telling the animals that you need to take Reiki the way a human takes Reiki. And so for me, I always say, meet the animal in their space. Meet them where they are. Try to shed some of your humanness and just be a spirit meeting with another spirit, a soul touching another soul, a heart opening to another heart. And then we can allow the animal to lead us and not be frightened if we're not controlling the treatment. You know, so we have to let go of the doing of the treatment and learn how to simply shine and then let the animal take whatever it needs. So, you know, the more that you practice your own self-treatment, the more confidence you'll have, the better, the easier it will be. And also you'll have better responses with the animals.
Right, right. It reminds
I used to cross-tie horses, and then they'd be, like, wiggling in the cross-ties and trying to get away from me. And I'm like, well, I'm giving you a Reiki treatment, and you know this is for your own good. Like, why are you squirming, and why are you trying to get away? Because it was about me. It was about what I wanted. It was about what I perceived that the horse needed this or that. And it was about me doing something to the horse.
Right.
So now I go in a field. They're free. I do my meditation. I go inward and I shine. And then the horse comes to me or he doesn't. It doesn't bother me. I'm shining and I'm joyful and blissful to just be in the horse's space. And
great,
whatever happens is perfect.
Well, Kathleen, I'd like to thank you for being my guest tonight. I'm sure you're going to come back. I'll ask you again. I think it's lovely, and I think we have so much to let the public know about. And if anyone,
thank you so much for letting me speak on your call and share.
Oh, thank you.
It's been wonderful.
We'll, if anybody needs to know anything about Kathleen, you can find her on Facebook. You could Facebook me and ask me where to find her, whatever. We'll get you to her. So thank you so much, Kathleen. I'm looking forward to possibly seeing you in September. Good luck with everything you do, and I hope you keep blossoming and blossoming and blossoming.
Thank you, and I wish the same for you as well, Rose. Thanks so much. Okay. And blessings, everybody.
Blessings. Namaste.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.